Good morning. I want to take a moment and say I appreciate our men and the job that they've done leading our service this morning. Troy, I appreciate your singing, good songs, well led. Our prayers from Bruce and from Jay. Chuck, for wrestling with those names, thank you very much. And Pete, I always appreciate your thoughts and your words directing us in the Lord's table. What a blessing it is to be here today to worship and to fellowship together. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our great Father, it's through our prayers that we can approach you with confidence and with humility. And Lord, we ask that in our prayer and in our life, our devotion to you, that we can somehow have the unity that you had with your Son while he was on this earth. You were one in thought and in purpose and in deed, in trust and in so many things. You were united, Lord, and we seek to have that unity as well. I pray you will bless us in this endeavor. I pray that you will bless your word today, and I ask that we can have open hearts and submit to it. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. I was reading an issue of Think magazine. It's a magazine that we get here. I get it. It's a kind of a Christian magazine. And they did a survey, and they were categorizing. The issue was about time, and they were categorizing the ways that we use time. All right, you sleep for 6 to 8 hours a night. Maybe that's generous. Okay, so we sleep for a certain amount of time at night, and you spend so much time of day eating and caring for other people, caring for yourself, working. They were categorizing the different ways that we spend our time. And what do you think they found in their survey? What kind of results do you think they found? Well, people were busy, right? The results, the findings of this survey was no surprise. We're busy. We're pressed. Our time is demanded of us in a lot of ways. But this wasn't the thing that caught my attention so much. More, it was the things that didn't appear on this survey of how we spend our time. Now, maybe it's because the survey just didn't ask for these things. Maybe it's because, in some respects, we don't always do these things. But on this survey of how people, Americans, I would assume, this is who they surveyed, prayer and private times with God and devotion to Him and even worship, they weren't even included on this survey. And so I wondered, if I sat down, I went in, and when I was in college, I studied some psychology, and for extra credit, you could go in and be a part of a study, you know, and for your grade, you could do that. And so I was wondering if I went in to take this survey or this test, I don't know if it's a psychological test per se, but if I went in to take this, would I have thought of that? Would I have paused and said, wait a minute, I've talked about all the physical things I do, but there's nothing in here about my spiritual life. So what I have squeezed in, what I have penciled in, prayer time, private time with God, personal time alone with my Heavenly Father. Which brings up the bigger question of how often, how actively do I squeeze in, do I fit in, or do I give up stuff to participate in these private times with God? Turn over to Luke 5. 16. Because in the middle of the Gospels, in the middle of the life of Christ, of our Savior, of the Son of God, we read these words. Luke 5:16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Jesus often slipped away to lonely places to pray. Isn't this a powerful example of prayer? I mean, think about the first word in this sentence. Okay, not but the next word. Jesus himself often sought lonely places to pray. Who are we talking about here? Well, let's go back to John 1:1. It says, Jesus was with God, and he was God. And if you go on to verse 41, it says that Jesus was the Messiah, the Anointed One. This is the guy who sought lonely places to pray. John 16:28, Jesus came from the Father and Jesus went back to the Father. And what did he do while he was here in between? Well, among other things, he sought lonely places to pray. John 17:24, Jesus was loved before the foundation of the world. Okay? Before anything was even conceived or created, Jesus was there. And yet while he's here on earth, he's seeking lonely places to be with God. John 18 is such a beautiful prayer from Christ in the presence of his apostles. And he talks about his perfect unity with the Father. And yet Jesus, who had perfect unity with the Father, sought lonely places to pray. Doesn't quite make sense to me. I mean, if Jesus was the Son of God, why did he have to withdraw to a lonely place? Couldn't he have just made time? I'm just going to kind of pause everything for a minute here. Pause. I don't want to waste anyone's time or miss any opportunities. I'm going to pause things here. Couldn't he have just prayed on the go? I mean, if he is one with God, then doesn't going and thinking to himself, it makes you wonder. It makes you scratch your head. Well, this is sort of facetious, but Jesus didn't have a full-time job, right? He didn't have to go punch his card anywhere. And so didn't he have as much time as he wanted to go and to pray? Why did he go to such great lengths to do this? But even the Son of God is going and withdrawing to lonely places to pray. So that's the first word. What about the second idea? Jesus himself would slip away to places to pray, but he would do it often. When would he go? Well, he went often. Some of our Bibles, I know that the New American Standard has it in italics. Others omit often, but this is an accurate translation of the frequency with which our Savior went to pray. Looking at his life, this is in addition to all of the other times we read about. Step back in Scripture sometime and notice the frequency Jesus prays at all, not just secluding himself in a wilderness or some other place, but let's go through really briefly. You can go back through and read these later. Don't turn to each of these, but the amount of times that Jesus prays in general, and we start to see that Jesus did pray without ceasing, right? Like Paul told us to do, pray without ceasing, pray on all occasions. Well, it starts off in the early Gospels, Mark chapter 1. Jesus prays to prepare. He gets up early in the morning and he goes out and he prays before he begins his teaching and his ministry. Here, and we're going to look at this section in Luke 5 later, he's got tons of stuff going on and he's busy, and yet he prays for focus. He pauses in the middle of his activity to pray for focus. And if you flip a chapter over into Luke 6, you see him going away to be with God to get guidance. He's praying for guidance as he chooses his apostles. Flip a few pages over to Matthew 14, also told in Mark 6. And Jesus is trying to get away from the stresses of his life. People want to feed him, and the apostles need guidance. And his cousin John has just been killed. And Jesus needs to get away and pray in sorrow and in weariness and in mourning. In Matthew 19, he's wanting to pray for children, right? What's wrong with praying for children? And his apostles get upset and angry. And he stills their anger, not by chastising them, but by praying for the children. Luke 9, he prays about his identity with his followers. Again in Luke 9, verse 28, up on the mountain of Transfiguration, when his glory is revealed, he's said to be praying there. In Luke 11, he's at a certain place. I don't know what certain place Jesus' hangout was, but there was a certain place where he prays, and then he teaches on prayer. Luke 22, he prays for his apostles before they're about to be sifted. He asks that they will have strength and they will endure and be faithful. John 17, he prays for the kingdom. He prays for the apostles who are with him now. And he prays even for us today, all of us who will believe in his message. And then right before his betrayal, right before Judas comes and betrays him, he's praying in the garden. And so Jesus prayed often, and in addition to the oftenness of his regular prayer, he sought lonely places to pray. Isn't it humbling and inspiring to know that Jesus prayed on all occasions and without ceasing? He's teaching and he's praying. He's busy and he's praying. There's a new beginning in a ministry and he prays over that. And there's tragic endings to someone's life or to something that's happening and he's praying. He prays for children and he prays for strength. And still, Jesus went often to private places to pray. So we know Jesus went a lot. But where did he go? We read that it says that he sought lonely places. Other verses say that he sought the wilderness. He sought deserted places. Now, we can pray anywhere to God. We don't have to be in a certain place. It's not that this prayer matters and, okay, well, this prayer doesn't matter, right? It's not the location that we're at. We can pray anywhere. But if location didn't have any meaning, then why did Jesus seek lonely places to pray? Why did he want to go out into the wilderness? Why did he want to go into places where no one else was? Well, we see some of this explanation in Matthew 6. What does he say in the Sermon on the Mount? He says, don't pray before people so that you will be glorified, right? Don't pray in a way that draws undue attention to yourself. And so there's one reason not to pray for those reasons, to go out to a secluded place so you can do it in humility before God. But let's go over to Mark chapter 1 and let's get an idea of the lifestyle. I said earlier that Jesus didn't have a full-time job, right? He didn't have a card to punch, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't busy. Mark 1:45, in the midst of more healings and teachings and casting out demons, Mark 1:45 says, the man he had just attended to, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the news about, to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. And Jesus was a busy man. I mean, the crowds would come to him so much that he couldn't eat or he couldn't sleep or he couldn't rest. And then in addition to the crowds, there were the Pharisees. And what did they want to do with Jesus? They wanted to trap him and test him. And, hey, we've got this old wives' tale. We need you to weigh in on Jesus. Can we share this with you? And let's try and trap you. And, oh, by the way, we're gonna plot to kill you as well. Jesus has that to deal with. And then as it gets closer to his personal acquaintances, there's disciples, both men and women, who attend to his needs and who are always with him. You've got the 12 apostles who he's always training. And then you've got Peter, James, and John, his closest of his apostles, that they don't even leave him when he goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration. So we see that Jesus, not only did he not pray in a way that was prideful and would draw undue attention to himself, but he sought lonely places to get away from the busyness, from the bustle, from the people, so he could give his full attention and he could seek privacy and avoid the distractions. He wanted to focus on God. Jesus was a man in demand, but we never hear the excuse, well, my schedule just won't allow me to stop and pray and be with God. You know, it's all these people who rob me of my time. If it weren't for the people, right, I could pray for the people. We don't hear him say any of those things. Jesus was teaching and healing and dealing with opposition, but he was often in private prayer with God. So this brings us to our last point of this verse here. Jesus, the Son of God, often, with regularity, sought lonely places away from people to do what? To pray. Now, this is the Son of God. This is someone who is equal part in the divine Trinity, okay? There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit, and they're all equal. And yet, this part of that Trinity is seeking time to be alone with God. He did the same thing that you or I can do, okay? Jesus made use of the same exact thing that we can make use of. Jesus prayed, and we can pray. Now, the text doesn't say this. All we can go off is that when Jesus prayed, he was doing what we do. He was praying with God. He was talking with God. But we hear of a lot of other people back in Scripture who talk to God in a lot of different ways. You read about Adam, right? And Adam What did he do? Adam walked with God in the cool of the garden and talked with him. We read about Abraham back in the Old Testament when he's almost haggling with God and he's saying, if there are any righteous people in this town, then please don't destroy this town. And then we read about Moses, who got to see the glory of God, and God took Moses up and revealed himself. But we don't see that Jesus is doing any of these things when he prays. He's not going and seeing some amazing vision, though he might have. He's not going away and speaking with God like you would face to face. Now, I'm not saying that he couldn't, but it points out in this verse that he went to do these things to pray, the very same avenue of prayer that you and I have, that we can use, the same as you or me. So how did our Savior use this avenue of prayer? When did he walk away? When did he go away to secluded places to pray? Let's look at three instances. And the first one is over in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. He's just got done dealing with some. We read this portion before. He's been healing people. He's been casting out demons. Starting in verse 35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house and he went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions were searching for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also, for that is what I have come for." And he went to their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. Jesus sought private prayer to what? To remind himself and his followers that success and work is from God. Okay, in this verse, Jesus is drawing crowds to him, and he's popular with his teaching. People are amazed at what a great teacher he is, and they're amazed that he can heal and that he can cast out demons. And he's popular, he's in demand, and he's successful. And this isn't just success like he's making money or that he's doing some great work with physical things, but he's doing great and spiritual work. And he's winning souls, and he's explaining the kingdom, and he's got something going for him. He's got momentum going. He's building momentum in his ministry. Right, you hear the word momentum a lot when you hear the sports guys talk about it. Well, this team's got momentum, but then this team lost the momentum, and well, they got it back, but then they lost it, and then right before halftime, they got it back again. Let's hope they can find it again later on. Right, momentum is key, and it's important. And yet, here is Jesus in the midst of all of these things going well for him, and what does he do? He runs off to some secluded place so he can pray by himself. No, Jesus, you got to keep the momentum going. Right? Take the momentum right into halftime. But he doesn't. He steps away and he prays. And he also prays at the inconvenience of who? Of his followers. Notice here, it says that he gets up in verse 35 very early and he goes to pray. And Simon and the companions come up and say, "Jesus, where did you go? There's all these people who need you and we need you. And you're missing out on all of these opportunities." And does Jesus say, "Well, I'm sorry, I apologize, I took some time for myself. I'm sorry that I had to go away and do this and it was an inconvenience to you"? No, he doesn't. Because he knows that everything he does is dependent upon his relationship with God. He knows that busyness really is nothing. That success is nothing without a connection through prayer with God. And so what did the world do when Jesus went away to pray? The world waited for the prayers of Jesus. So how do we do when we're busy and when life is going well for us, when we're successful? Do we think to take time to be alone with God? I think too often, rather than our agenda waiting on our prayer waits on our agenda. And as our success and as our gain increases, our private time with God seems to go in an inverse direction. It goes down. But the question we have to ask is who is the Lord of our success? Who is the Lord of our agenda and our schedule? Jesus' private times honored God as the source of success and of work and of the things that God had given him to do. Let's go on to another account in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 in verse 12. Here he's been going back and forth with the Pharisees over the Sabbath, whether you're supposed to eat on the Sabbath, whether you're supposed to work on the Sabbath, whether you're supposed to heal somebody and do good on the Sabbath. Let's start in verse 12. And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. Jesus is compelled in this moment to make a decision of eternal importance. These 12 men that he's going to select as his apostles are going to be responsible for explaining what he was all about when he leaves. When he's gone, these are going to be the men that are going to attest to his witness and give proof to who he was and the fact that he was the Messiah. And so he goes up on a mountain. And he goes up on a mountain all night. And he prays in preparation for the calling of his chosen 12. Now, I don't want to make too big a deal out of this point right here, but Jesus prays all night before he chooses his 12 apostles. Jesus also prays most of the night before he is crucified. I think that shows the significance of how Jesus approached significant decisions and times in his life. If there was some big event that was coming up in his life, then he would pray because he knew that he needed to be unified with the Father. He needed to have his decisions on the same plane as God would have. And so he sacrificed a full night's rest to unite his decisions with God's will. Jesus lost sleep to pray. And so the question comes to us, what would we sacrifice to be united in purpose with God? Would you sacrifice some comfort, some sleep maybe, some entertainment? Jesus understood that the effectiveness of his decisions was shaped in the early mornings and late nights of his private time with God. Jesus' quiet time in prayer was what united his decisions with God's will. And before he chose these 12 men, 11 of whom would go on and share the gospel with the world, he came to God and he said, you know, I need to spend some time with you and I need to make sure that I'm thinking the right thing and that I'm going to choose the right men. Let's go on to Matthew chapter 14. We'll look at a third and final instance here of Jesus going away and being alone with God. We've seen so far that in the midst of his busyness and his success, he puts a stop to things and he says, I need to pray and I need to make sure I'm united with God. And I need to be with him in the things that he wants. In the face of a difficult decision, he goes to God all night and he says, I need help making this choice. And in Matthew chapter 14, in verse 23, it says, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Let me read verse 22, and then I can read 23 again. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And it was evening, he was there alone. This is a very significant time, a very trying time, I believe, in the life of Christ. He has sent out his apostles, and they have come back, and they want to talk about their experiences and what they've shared, and so he has to attend to them and train them. He's got 5,000 men, plus women and children, following him, wanting food and teaching. I remember when I worked in La Mesa, I would have to put together a youth event and we'd have to feed 250 people. Can you imagine 250 people? I can't imagine 5,000, can you? And yet he's got 5,000 people trailing him, 5,000 plus, wanting food and attention. And what else is significant that has happened in Jesus' life here? Herod has beheaded his cousin John, the man who prepared the way and who witnessed to who Christ was. And so Jesus, I believe, is seeking privacy for rest and to mourn the death of his cousin. And so Jesus prays, not because it's the next thing on his to-do list. All right, well, I've trained the apostles, and I've fed 5,000 people, and I've mourned the death of John, and now it's time to go pray. Okay? He doesn't pray as a part of his to-do list. He prays in order to get away from his to-do list. He prays in order to rejuvenate himself and to be refreshed with God, to recharge and to regroup. And so what is your escape? What do you do to get away from things and to come back recharged? I know some of the things I do to zone out and to kind of get away from things, they actually kind of leave me more brain dead than when I started, you know? Watching something or going and doing something, and you're really more tired than when you started. But we see Jesus goes away, and he spends this time with God, and when he comes back, he's better focused. He has a fresh perspective, and he has renewed energy. And so here are some questions that are before us today. Do you pray more or do you pray less during the good times in your life? What do you sacrifice for prayer, especially in the face of big decisions? And what do you use to find escape and refuge from the trials and difficulties in our daily life? Because Jesus often sought lonely places to pray. In success, he submitted to God in prayer and he gave thanks and credit to God. In difficult decisions, he sacrificed comfort to unify his plans with God. And in mourning and in fatigue, not in the morning, but in mourning, as though he was sad. In mourning and in fatigue, Jesus sought privacy and retreat in the arms of his Father. I pray that we can be humbled and that we can be amazed and that we can be inspired and challenged by our Lord's commitment to seeking God in quiet places and in lonely places. Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. May our retreat into the wilderness of our hearts, into private places, humble us in success, guide our daily decisions, and rejuvenate us in our energy for God. And so if you're in Christ today, let's sharpen our times of prayer. Let's sharpen those times over the next week. Let's sharpen those times tomorrow. Maybe it's at the bedside with your child or with your spouse. Maybe it's in a parking lot. Maybe it's in your car before you leave your house. You have a private moment in the morning to be with God. Maybe you can find privacy in your office, in your kitchen, in your shop. Maybe there's some place where you can be alone with God and think on Him. Find a lonely place. Be alone before God and seek the unity that Christ had with our Heavenly Father. To those who are not in Christ today, we ask that you would take this opportunity and carefully consider your relationship with God. Because if we're not with God, then our mind is contrary to Him and our mind is on the things of this world. So if you're not in Christ, you can be refreshed today. You can come and you can start your relationship with God today. If you've fallen away and you need prayers of encouragement and you need strength and you need the body to encourage you and pray for you, those things are all open for us today. If you have any need, please come forward while we stand and sing.